Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back tonight. I hope everybody had a nice day. Let me bring Shelley in right away because we're going to do a follow-up to Wednesday's show. Shell had some more information that she really wanted to share, but before we do that, I want to share a couple things so that I make sure that I make time for them. Hi, Shell. How are you?
I'm doing real good. How are you, Rainey?
Good, 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 good. I want to share a couple different things only because it's the end of the week and a couple of these things, well, one of these things happened last week, but we had a meeting today at a local middle school where one of my great grandchildren goes to school. Actually, a couple of them go there. And about 10 days ago, my grandson, who is 12, was riding his bike home from school. It's a local neighborhood school. And a bunch of older kids, eighth graders, called him names and said things, you know, like derogatory comments about having something stuck up his butt or something along those lines, and just laughed at him and made fun. And he rode his bike real fast. And I guess the farther he went, the more angry he got. It's, of course, in the afternoon, about 95 degrees in the shade. So I imagine
right.
Some of it had to do with heat. But he jumps off his bike and throws his bike because he's so angry. And it lands on the side of the sidewalk and bounces on one of the tires out into the road and hits a van that's driving.
Oh.
And the man jumps out of his van, yells at Frankie, and calls the police. Frankie gets home, and pretty soon here comes the sheriff's office. And he tells his grandmother, and his mom was working, tells his grandmother what happened. The sheriff shows up, and the man in the van never showed up. I think he probably just wanted to scare Frankie. Maybe he was even in some, way kind of looking out for him, thinking if he does that again to somebody else, something a lot worse could have happened, right? I mean, I choose to think that's the scenario, but he didn't show up. But the sheriff spent some time with Frankie and with my daughter-in-law, who is his grandma, and said, you know, this young man appears depressed and is trying to deal with other things. Well, he is. That's true. Some other stuff has happened in the family, and he's carrying a bit of a load. And, of course, he's right at that transitional age. 12 years old for a boy is one of the toughest ages, you know. So nothing happened with that. And the next weekend, they're all here for a birthday party. And I said, are you okay? And he said, yeah, Graham, I'm fine. He said, I just lost my temper. And I said, okay. I said, do you think there's those kind of problems at your school? And he said, yeah, I do. So I just packed that in my head and thought to myself, we're going to have to keep an eye on this. Because a lot of the other grandchildren have gone to this school.
Right.
And I know some of the teachers. And of course, Valerie and Mike know all of them because all of their grandchildren have gone to that school.
Mm-hmm.
So 3 days ago, Frankie comes home from school, all upset, in the lunchroom. Some girl coughed into his food and cracked a whole
on
table
purpose?
Full of other kids. Yes, on purpose.
Oh,
then
wow.
goes, oh, Frankie comes back from getting his drink or whatever he went to get and sits down and everybody's laughing and he sees them laughing, doesn't pay attention, takes a bite of the food. Well, then they all just broke into hysterical laughter and told him that she had spit in his food.
Wow.
So he gets up, throws the food away and walks out of the lunchroom, comes home and tells his mother and his grandmother and his grandfather. And so Melissa calls the school. Now, Mr. Palladino is the principal, and I've met Mr. Palladino before. Like I said, other kids have gone there. Nice guy. I'm going to say late 30s. He was a teacher when my oldest grandson went there, and now he's the principal. And I like him. He looks at you when he talks to you. He seems to genuinely like the kids, and he feels that he runs a pretty good ship. So we met with him today, and my feelings have not changed about him. But he said, I can show you stacks of things. He said, but this is as bad as it ever gets here. He says, I'm not trying to say that this is okay. I just want you to know that when they do statistics on all the local schools, this particular school rates very high for nonviolent bullying and things like that. Mm-hmm. Now, these two things that happened to Frankie have been going on for millions of years. Other kids picking on another kid. There was no hand-to-hand touching. There was no punching. There was no hitting with a brick. There was, you know, none of the things that nobody walked in with a gun or anything like that. But it's still reason to be worried about our kids. So that's why we met with him. And he filled us in, and he seemed very enlightened about the whole thing, which made Melissa and I feel good. That meant he was paying attention and, you know, got the report and read it and knew all about it. And he also knows Frank personally, which I also like. Small schools are nice like that.
Right.
But as we talked, I said to him, I said, you know, he has other stuff going on in his life besides these little incidents. And he said, yes. And Melissa said, do you know everything that's going on with my family? And he said, yes. And they're awaiting for Melissa's, the youngest child's father to come back to Florida and stand trial. And they even have pictures of him in case he comes on the property, because now the youngest, the six-year-old, now is in school. So This Mr. Palladino was totally versed on all of it, which, you know, made me feel great, because a lot of times you walk in, oh no, I didn't know anything about that, and they have that dull look on their face, like, and I really don't care to know about it now. And that's not who he was.
Right.
So the reason I'm sharing this, the reason I'm sharing this story is I think we have it under control, and I think Frankie is okay and has things under control, even though I mentioned to Mr. Palladino, you know, suicides and this age children is at an all-time high. And he said, I know, it breaks my heart. And I said, mine too. I said, so talking is imperative. I said, if you ever have anything going on that I can help with, please let me know. I'm happy to come over and talk, listen, hear kids if you need help with listening to kids and things like that. And he said, thank you. He said, you offered that to me before, but I wasn't the principal then. I said, no, I know. And he said, but now I could probably make that happen. So a good note, I think we opened the door to more communication. On another good note, it made us both well. And then when we told Mike and Val and the rest of the family, everybody felt kind of good that he knew about everything. He also asked after all the other grandchildren that he's had in the school by name, which was another really special feeling, because that doesn't happen
very
often
today
either. So he really
deserves to become the principal. He really deserves to be the principal then.
Yes. And he has kids himself that go to that school, which also is kind of nice to hear, you know.
Right.
Well, I'm the principal here, but my kids go to the school over in Spanish River, you know. That's a little unsettling when you hear that, or Wellington or something like that,
right.
You know. So I wanted to share
that
and but I wanted to share that and say, with all the things we talk about, that's kind of nice, kind of positive news.
Right.
Not
so
negative,
of,
like so much of the news that.
Right. So just out of curiosity, specifically with regard to what Frankie's going through, is anybody counseling him? I'm not saying it would have to be you, but I don't know if anybody else in the circle or even Mr. Palladino is aware of some of the simplistic concepts that Izzy was trying to teach the kids, which is kind of diffusing their behavior so that they don't create the desire for bullies to bully them, you know, to literally not care The only reason he's being bullied is because they're getting a reaction out of him. But if they came up and said these terrible mm-hmm. things or spit in his food and he just got up and threw his food away and looked at them and just smiled and walked away, you know, it wouldn't be entertaining. Mm-hmm. He's entertaining them because of his reaction. Has anybody had that conversation or tried to counsel him and just like, you know, they're just being mean because they get a reaction out of him and he has the power to diffuse that over time.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, as a matter of fact, Mr. Palladino has a lady who is not as old as I am, but sounds she's been a teacher, but now she works there as like a counselor. And
right.
They've opened the door to Frankie. But of course, you know, he has to want to talk. That's the tough part, you know.
Right.
So you can say to a kid, you know, I mean, I can't tell you how many parents have said, you got to talk to my kid. And I say, no, your kid's got to talk to me. You know, there's
mm-hmm.
nothing I can do unless they open up to me. And sometimes they do. Yeah. Sometimes they're happy to unload about how angry they are with their parents, you know,
right,
because they
exactly.
think somehow, you know, their parents aren't paying attention. So then I get conversation. But
right.
yes, he said to Melissa today that he's going to initiate something with this lady who's a counselor there at the school and not make a big
okay.
deal out of it. Just say to Frankie, you know, because he said the same thing, the less attention he gives to them, and both scenarios were different kids. So it's not like one band of older kids is ganging up on him. The ones in the cafeteria
yeah.
are his age and his peers, the ones out
right.
in the street, off the school grounds, they were, you know, like 2 and 3 years older. So
mm-hmm.
a little bit of different scenario. But he has all that information, too, and has talked to the parents of those kids. So I just
okay.
thought it was really positive, really positive. And then one more thing. I follow Wayne Tracy. Remember, I mentioned him a couple months ago, too, because they posted something about him. And he's one that after Mikey got hurt so bad, he's the one who the girl said, you belong with your dead brother, after he found his brother hanging from
oh,
a tree.
Right.
And remember that? Yeah. And
yeah,
almost killed
that
girl by stomping on her head and everything. Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
he's been in prison since then. He's 25 years old now. He's been in prison for 10 years. And he's been moved, but it's to a work camp in Martin County. And
what does that mean?
I guess that just means that he's not in like a lockdown situation. It's more like a campsite, but he has to serve 85% of his sentence. So, I want to say he won't be eligible for any kind of, being able to go home early or anything really until 2027, until something happens.
Gosh.
But he's, you know, he's gotten his,
I'm surprised
he's gotten
his attorneys don't try to appeal his sentence. I think it was way too harsh. There are people that have committed premeditated murder that don't get as long a sentence as he got. And,
I'm
not justifying what he did, but Jennifer Ratley.
No, me either.
And I'm not saying this to be mean to her. I mean, what happened to her was horrible, and she's going to be crippled for the rest of her life. But, I mean, for God's sake,
mm-hmm.
how do you say that to somebody that just had their brother commit suicide? So Jennifer Ratley was not an innocent victim. You know, and as
well,
much as I
mean,
feel
you know, that
for what happened to her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
well, I think that's
the
way we all feel about that, you know.
You know, because I watch these
crime shows,
and I see people who commit murder who get 10 to 15 years, and they serve 8 years, and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
I know. Yep. But he had nobody on his side, you know, honey, nobody on his side. But now he has this huge following of older women, younger women. I've never seen any men on the site, by the way, just as a sideline. But he has all these older ladies that have stood by him and write letters to him, and they're good with it. A month ago or so, I was reading this, and they talked about it seems like a long time away, and after 2027, he still got 10 years of probation. And
wow.
And it happened in, you know, in 2009. So I wrote in, I have followed Wayne's journey and my heart hurt for him. What he did was wrong, but sadly understandable. The boys that set my grandson on fire are out, and the ringleader will soon be. Justice? I'm afraid not. Good wishes and hope to Wayne. So,
right.
Renee, you are so right on our justice system. Until you go through it, we have no choice. We have no clue how messed up it really is. And another lady, Renee, I'm so sorry to hear. How is your grandson doing now? You are right about the justice system. My friend's son was murdered by a killer who got 14 years and 1 year probation. And
lots
of comments. Yeah, lots of comments like that. And, I just let them all know, that Mikey's starting a family, he has a good job, he laughs easily. We're very, very lucky. And many of them commented on that and said, we're so happy to hear that. So, it's a terrible thing.
Yeah, what he did was a terrible thing. But when you're talking about a crime committed under emotional duress, that's the type of situation that particular part of the law exists. And I think whatever attorney he had truly missed the boat in defending this young man. He should have gotten some sentence, because you can't condone violence, but he never should have gotten like I said, there's murderers that don't get that long of a sentence. That was a huge injustice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't, and I don't get it when it's brought to the attention of the powers that be why something hasn't changed, Shell. I just don't get it, except for the fact that, not enough people care, or he's not important enough, or I don't know. I don't know what keeps it so unbalanced, the whole system, totally unbalanced. But like I said, it is what it is, and I did like what happened in the school today. First time in a very long time that I left the school, or a school, without a stomach ache. And of course, the two schools that I visited in Broward County that are doing that program for the kids that are homeless, literally live in, sleep on friends' beds, or sleep in the street, or sleep on the beach, and classrooms are being opened up to them. And there's teachers there helping them keep their laundry clean and recycling clothing when they all share and all that kind of stuff. Some wonderful things are being done. So maybe some of these sad stories that we still talk about, like my Mikey and like this young man and like so many other kids that have been hurt or ruined their life from a stupid decision or whatever the case might be. I think in that mess of everything, we are learning something, and maybe we're finally doing some things that are going to make a difference for that beautiful little baby that I hold on my lap every day now, maybe
right, exactly.
when she gets to that point, everything will be, more what we need. So let's hope, So,
believe that the world is moving in that direction.
Yeah, I know you do. Well, you're more positive than most of the people I know. I know you believe that, and I appreciate that. And a lot of times, you save me from being in a place of, kind of like, what am I going to do, because I have to do something. And then I talk to you, and I hear some of the positivity that you wrap your heart around, and I most of the time buy into it, even though sometimes the cold hard truth slaps me in the face too many times. But I do believe that basically we are good, And we strive for good, and we all want to be loved. I mean, we've said that since day one on this show. We're all alike in so many different ways, and that's certainly one of them. So let's go back to Wednesday's show. Now, you were gonna bring us some more information about some of the kids that we talked about and some of the other stuff.
Right. Well, just to make one quick comment, I had wanted to talk about Cody Lee a little bit more because I went into a little bit more detail on some of the other amazing people, and I did want to talk about him a little bit more because he was the one I'm just, like, so totally impressed with him. But I do want to make one quick comment based on what you just said, and that's that anybody who reads a newspaper, turns on the news, or just has interrelations with other people can see that there's a lot of awful behavior today. Ranging from rude all the way up to despicable, horrendous, violent, cruel, you know, you name it, gruesome violence, that type of stuff. So obviously that's all going on, okay? But in the same token, you have to remember there's 7 billion people on the face of this planet. And it really is a smaller percentage of the population that give in to that type of horrific behavior. The vast majority of us are tolerant, appreciative of the differences in people, recognize that we're all connected somehow. There's more of that consciousness on the planet right now than probably ever before in history. And when you understand that the number of people that get in the news, the millions and millions of people that get in the news, is an extremely small percentage of the 7 billion people that inhabit the planet. People from third world countries, people from every nationality, every race, creed, color, gender, lifestyle orientation. There's good and bad in everybody. There are people in every type of description that you could give a person that do horrible things. And there are people from those same descriptions, those same religions, those same sexual orientations, those same genders, whatever, that do amazingly good work. And it's just up to us to be open to seeing the good, inviting the good in, understanding that there is a lot of good in us, and trying to inspire that in others. So many times acts of violence could have been sidestepped, could have been thwarted, but the people got caught up in the drama themselves and actually added to the situation to bring about a violent act. And I think it as a species, people are learning more and more how to diffuse situations instead of throwing gas on the fire, so to speak. So I'm just hoping that we see more and more of that. I am seeing more of it. Part of my journey right now is that I expose myself to some of the worst in humanity. I watch a lot of these crime dramas. They're true life crime dramas, though. They're real stories. They're documentary type stories. You're hearing from the actual people that experienced it, the survivors, or the families of the victims and things like that. They're heart-wrenching stories, and some of the acts were so, like, mind-bogglingly gruesome and violent and senseless. People being murdered literally over nothing, that it's very, very hard to then think good things of people. And that's why I expose myself to shows that are lighthearted, like the Kids Baking Championship or the Holiday Baking Championship. They're fun shows. It shows a lighthearted part of our society. They're fun. And then I go to America's Got Talent, where you're seeing the best and the brightest of people that are unknown that put themselves out there to get recognized. And you just find you find all these diamonds in the rough on this show, these people that have these abilities. You know, sometimes they're young. They've had 10, 11-year-old contestants to people in their 60s that are for the first time pursuing their dreams. So they're shows of hope, they're shows of the vastness of the human talent. And then on the Ripley Show, which is where I talked about some of those people on Wednesday, people that go against what would be commonly accepted as human abilities to doing things that are so extraordinary that it's pushing the limits of human potential much farther than most people think we have the ability to things, whether it be physical abilities, mental abilities, psychic abilities, whatever. I mean, they've shown it all on that show. And what's exciting to me about that, and this is kind of leading into talking about Cody Lee, is that when you look at these people with extraordinary abilities, that means that the capacity for humans to do that very thing exists. It already exists. So why can some people tap into these extraordinary abilities and others can't? And I think that we really have to, number one, appreciate that the limits of our abilities aren't even totally comprehended by most people. We really are limitless beings, limitless species. And the more we embrace that and the more we look for ways to expand who and what we are, you're going to see more good things being done just out of those abilities coming to light and people being able to grab them and do something positive with their lives. And a perfect example are some of the people I spoke about that took either birth defects, or things that happened to them, you know, accidents and these terrible disabilities, and created lives that are thriving and inspiring and intelligent, you know, and Cody Lee is a perfect example of that. So before I go into him a little bit more, do you want to comment on anything I just said or ask me any questions before I continue?
Well, I agree with you, and I think that sometimes tragedy is the catalyst that lifts somebody up that might not ever lift themselves. So I've always been a believer in everything happening for a reason, even some of the things that it's hard for me to say that about. But I can't help but believe that that's the truth, that sometimes, you know, I don't know, you have to be immersed in your own flaws to be able to lift yourself out of them. Now, somebody like the young man that you're talking about who was born the way he was born, we've read lots of stories about people surviving. I mean, you know, just people that we've read about in our lifetimes, we've lived long enough to hear some of the amazing stories of people who were considered totally disabled. And Stephen Hawking, as a for instance,
yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of people that sometimes, Shell, if you don't have to work to get to something, if everything just comes to you, then you don't meet any challenges. And sometimes you lose the potential of who you can be. So I believe things happen for a reason. I don't want to say that I think somebody's born with so many things that it's almost impossible to ever have any kind of normalcy. But I do believe that the people that are born with those kind of things almost always, through some kind of divine intervention, end up with somebody who believes in them, like the mom of the young man that you're talking about.
Yeah, she's amazing.
I mean, you can see her pride, her strength, her tenacity to say, you know, he thinks he can do it. God damn it, he's going to be able to do it. You could just feel that in her. You could feel it in her. So I think, you know, you don't like to think that, you know, like children that are born with spina bifida or cerebral palsy or all those kind of things. And the story I told, I don't even know if you were on the show that night, but so many years ago at Denny's, these two ladies used to come in every Friday night.
Right.
Remember me telling her this story?
Yes.
And I thought they were so footloose and fancy free, and how nice was that and everything. And then I find out that for her daughter's whole life, she'd been in a bed. And that was the only night of the week that she ever left that child, that grown woman, alone. And I remember when I found that, I had to go in the ladies' room and cry, first of all, before I could even get any composure. And then I walked out, and I was in it. Instead, I wrapped my brain around how in awe I was of her, and thought to myself, if something like that ever happened to me, I have to hope and pray that I would be strong enough to do the things she
right.
has done. So, you know,
one of the things we keep in mind, that one of the things you and I both mentioned on the show, is that we both believe in reincarnation, and that one of the premise behind reincarnation is that we've lived many, many lives, hundreds, maybe thousands, depending on how long we've been reincarnating and what lessons we have chosen to learn. And that the concept behind reincarnation is that you choose what lesson you need to learn or what you need to bring to the world as far as a lesson. So a lot of these children, now think about as close as 40, 50 years ago, children with disabilities were still being institutionalized, were still being allowed, especially in third world countries, were being allowed to languish and starve to death and things like that. And so in less than half a century, our whole concept of what to do for children that are disabled or handicapped or you know, have a mental disability or physical disability or deformed or whatever, okay, has changed to the point where more and more children now are being given the opportunity to thrive, whether it's thrive just from being able to be happy and enjoy things, or thrive like Stephen Hawking. I mean, look at Stephen Hawking. Mm-hmm. There was nothing about him that worked. He was crippled, and yet he was respected. He was brilliant. He learned how to communicate, you know. And it's, you know,
amazing
50 years
story.
Ago that wouldn't have happened. And you see so many of those type of stories now. So we have definitely changed as a species on this planet. We are changing as a race, as beings. We are becoming more spiritual. You know, and even though there are a lot of people who haven't risen to that and who aren't, you know, who aren't doing a lot of the right things and are still being cruel or judgmental, a lot of that's still out of fear, and the fear is coming from a lack of connection. The fear is coming because I'll give a perfect example, talking about Cody Lee, okay? It astonishes me how emotional it is to listen to him. Like, you and I were talking about the fact that we both cried every time. I've watched that audition probably now like a dozen times on YouTube. I just keep watching it and watching it and watching it. And I cry every time, and I've showed it to other people, and, you know, and they're like, oh, my God, you know, it's amazing. And yet, when I looked at the comments below, I would have to say the comments are, like, 99% positive. But every now and then, there's, like, an awful comment, and out of, like, 1.5 million likes on one of the YouTube videos, there was, like, 37,000 thumbs down. Who doesn't think that's a very powerful video to watch? Who, you know, so even if you don't like it, you know, he's not your cup of tea, maybe you didn't like the song he sang, what is there not to like about something so inspiring? But it's I think people are threatened by positive stories like that. I actually know people that get angry when you try to tell them an inspiring story, almost like you're guilting them. Well, look what this person did. How come you're not doing better with your life? And that's not what's being said. That's the person's own guilt coming through and making them not like the story you just told them. Because I've seen situations where I've shared an inspiring story with somebody just to share the story with them, having nothing to do with them, and they took it personally. And they got upset, or they got offended, or something like that. It's like, how does that even happen? You know, why would you get upset over hearing an inspiring
story? Or they say that would never happen to me. With my luck, that would never happen to me. Or,
Exactly.
You know, when something like that did happen to me, you know, I you know, this happened and that happened and all this negativity. Yeah, I know. Those are the Eeyores of the world. That's what I always call them, the Eeyores, you know, the ones that walk around sad all the time. I just had a conversation with a really funny guy friend the other day, and he said something about a mutual acquaintance. And I said, yes, I said, that person is my favorite Eeyore. Well, he just cracked up. He says, oh, my God, Renee, that's exactly right. I said, I know. There's lots of them out there, honey. they relish feeling sad. There's just something about it. So, but really, they don't feel sad the way we do anyway. So it's still different. But yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. That would never happen to me. Yeah,
exactly. So anyway, so but with Cody Lee, the reason and the vast majority of people that have seen him, that have seen the video, are blown away. That's why he got voted where he was. You know, there are some naysayers out there that saying, oh, he shouldn't have won. Why not? Why shouldn't he have won? He's an incredible talent. He has this beautiful, soulful voice. You know, why shouldn't he have won? This was a popular vote, you know. So the vast majority of people, obviously, do believe he should have voted. That's how he got there. The judges didn't do this. This was by people voting for him. So, but I was so impressed with him, and I've watched a lot of shows on AGT, and I became fans of some of the people over the years, but I have to say, this is the first time that I actually, it's not the first time, I think this is the third person now. There's two other people, singers, that have been on over the years that I actually wanted to get albums from, and I think I did. I think Lindsay Sterling was one of, she didn't get as far as he did. But I just thought, even though she didn't make it to the finals, I became a huge fan of Lindsay Stirling. She's the one who plays the violin. Oh, my God, I just love her. She kind of combined classical and rock in the violin, and she was just wonderful, you know. I am absolutely going to get a CD from him as soon as it's available. I just think he is incredibly talented, and his story is beautiful. But I found out more information about that. There's actually a website. He's actually been performing for years, which I didn't know. He has a band. His brother's in his band. And he is known as a musical savant. Right. There's only known, it doesn't mean that this is all there is in the world, but they only know of 25 of these individuals in the world.
Wow.
So, his talent is unbelievable. He can hear any piece of music one time and master it. He remembers it.
Wow.
They said his brain works like a jukebox. So they said he can actually store more songs in his head than a standard jukebox can and just recall them. And he also knows how to play classical piano. I don't know if you knew that or not. I actually found a YouTube of him. Oh, my gosh. Did you see the video of him playing Schubert, the Schubert concert?
Well, I saw some of them. I'm not sure. I don't recognize the classical music to know well enough what I watched, but I did see some of those because I was for one thing, he put me in mind of my friend Adam because of his demeanor. Now, Adam doesn't struggle with the same issues, but the way he holds his body, the way he would hold and laugh, and I don't know if you remember Adam well enough to remember how his favorite thing is to tell silly, silly jokes. Some of them aren't all that funny, but he laughs so hard you laugh with him, you know. And
yeah, I do remember
and
that.
This young man reminded me of that part of Adam. So, I'm always blown away by people that seem like they have less than anybody else and they're the happiest. I mean, it just it just shows you that it has nothing to do with what you got. Has a lot to do with who you are.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, but I'm so impressed by his ability to entertain his, they were interviewing him, and like the one, I'm trying to remember where I saw this, because I watched so many different clips about him, but they were saying that the part of his brain that works with music is so advanced, you know, is developed in such an advanced way, but the part of the brain that that handles language, like having a conversation, like you ask somebody a question and they formulate an answer, that doesn't work. That's underdeveloped. And this is what fascinates me about Savant. Hang on a second. you know, you just got home after running a bunch of errands, so I'm trying to unload the car while I'm on the show with you.
Wow.
So anyway.
Multitasking, are we? Yes.
I'm multitasking. Yes, I am. Anyway. So,
yes, I can relate.
So I find that fascinating. And this is kind of the comment I was getting at before. Along with seeing some of these other people that have extraordinary abilities. So part of his brain that has to do with musical talent is way overdeveloped. Or it's not
right.
just overdeveloped, it's over-accessed. So this is again my opinion. I'm not a doctor, but this is my opinion. This is my observation. So if that part of his brain is he's able to access it in a way that allows him to be a musical prodigy savant, what can we do as humans to bring about the ability to access that area of the brain? So that means that ability is already within us as a species. Think about that. All right, because where is it coming from? In other words, he taught himself.
Well, I don't know.
He heard a song. Now, you've heard of other musical prodigies. What about that little boy? Remember the show, remember that show with all the little kid prodigies? It was only on for like
yes,
a season.
Yes,
with Paul Harvey.
Yeah, with
Paul Harvey.
Steve.
Remember? Steve Harvey.
Yeah,
Harvey.
Steve Harvey, not Paul Harvey.
Okay.
Yeah.
You remember the little boy on there that just taught himself how to play the piano at like, I don't know, I think
yes.
he was like two
yes.
or 3 years old or something. At 4 years old, he's playing concert piano. So just like Cody Lee, I mean, he didn't have autism, but just like Cody Lee, he hears a piece of music and he plays it. How does anybody just know how to play a piano? Most people have to learn.
Well,
have to learn how to play chords.
I relate a lot of that to reincarnation myself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for me, that just makes a lot of sense. And that's a possibility with this young man too.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he was here before. And
mm-hmm.
and maybe this is one of the things that he brought back. I don't
right.
know. I mean, for me,
but see,
my mind stays open about it because it is pretty complex to understand.
Right. But there's even more there. So the ability, let's just take this a step further because I just find this a fascinating conversation, you know, and it's a lot of supposition, but it's exciting because it opens up more and more possibilities for us as human beings, okay? So let's say that
right,
reincarnation
sure.
plays a role into it. I think you're right about that, okay? That a lot of times we bring talents and desires, preferences, you know, why do some people want to
mm-hmm.
go into things where they're using math, or some people are into science, or some people are into art, or
mm-hmm.
singing or dancing
yeah.
or being an accountant, you know? I mean, why are people drawn
yeah.
to particular lifestyles, you know, not lifestyles, but different types of work, okay?
Interest.
And it might be because
mm-hmm.
in a past, right, exactly, because in a past life they may have done that and perfected it and become very talented in it, and so it's going to be like a natural draw for them in another lifetime. All right, so that explains
right.
part of it. But what about the
mm-hmm.
capacity to learn? Okay, so he's bringing forward, let's say, as a theory, he's bringing forward the ability to play the piano because he played it in a past life. That doesn't explain how he remembers
right.
everything, how he can hear a piece of music one
yeah.
time and just record it. So that's another area of the brain that he's accessing at a much higher level than most people can access. Same thing, like, remember the movie
mm-hmm.
Rain Man? Okay, so
sure.
the brother,
yep.
it's a fictional story, but it's based on real people. There really are people that are like the brother, the Rain Man, in that movie where he was
mm-hmm.
a mathematical genius. So he was also autistic. He, like Cody Lee, he couldn't carry on a conversation with you. He would rock and things like that, so he had that severe autism. If you remember in the movie, he was a mathematical genius. He was like a human. He was like a walking
right.
human calculator. Okay. And again, going
mm-hmm.
back to that show with Steve Harvey, there was also a young man on there. I don't know if you remember him. Who you could throw any numbers at him. You know, The largest numbers, you didn't have to do like 2 plus 2. You could do like 2,048 times 31 divided by that. You could just rattle on a bunch of numbers, come to the end, and he would have the answer. Meanwhile, the people in the audience are still trying to hammer it out on their calculators. Do you remember that one? Did you see him?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Okay.
Well, and so, I watched a show with Genius Kids on it, Shelley. I don't know if you got to see that, and I'm not saying the right name, but that show just blew me away. I mean, blew me away. It was on, I don't know, maybe a dozen times on Sunday night, and the test that they gave these kids, you know, they had to remember, they given a deck of cards, all of them, and the same deck of cards, and they were all shuffled, and each kid had to remember, go down all, I think it was four or five kids, and they had to do the next card in line after they saw the, after they looked at the cards one time, and they could do it.
Oh my God. Yep.
And
so that's what I'm talking about.
And math
about.
Stuff, it was.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah.
So I do believe that some abilities or people that have, you know, like an inclination towards a particular vocation or talent or anything like that. I believe a lot of that absolutely can come from past lives. I think some of the struggles that we have from lifetime to lifetime are by choice, because we have chosen to have a particular experience because we need that in order to perfect our souls. So that's another big conversation, okay? But as far as some of these other talents, these people, now some of them have autism, some of them don't. Some of the people with these extraordinary mm-hmm. abilities are just like you and me, you know, they have normal communication skills, but, you know, so that they're normal, so to speak, in every other regard, except that they have this ability that's out of the norm for what most people experience, whether it be mathematical skills or physical strength or physical agility or and things like that. You know, so when we on Wednesday mm-hmm. we were talking about some of the people that have risen above birth defects and deformities to actually thrive and excel in life. But the counterpart to that is another show, maybe next week. I want to talk about some of the people that were on these shows that have extraordinary abilities that are very unique, that you don't see commonplace, but the person doesn't necessarily have a disability. They just have a talent that's so unusual, that's so out there. It's like, where did that talent come from? It's not like they could learn it from anybody else because it's that unique. And there were some of those people on AGT, and there were some of those people on one of the Ripley's. So what's exciting to me mm-hmm. is that, to me, that shows that there is a heightened human potential that is finally becoming accessed by more and more of the population. An article I had read, oh God, it had to be at least 6 months ago. I have to find the article so I can see who the author was. But there had been some research done, and they said that there are more children geniuses and prodigies being born and on the face of the planet now than ever before in history. Now, there's more people, but we're talking more in relation to the population. You know, so if it was like 0.0001 of the population, even with 7 billion people on the planet, we're at like a higher percentage of the 7 billion. So not only do we have more people on it, but it's a higher percentage of these children that are being born with extreme abilities, you know, even like children prodigies, mathematics, science, musical, artwork. That young girl who was a painter who taught herself at like, I don't know, it was like 4 years old or something, she started painting portraits, and it looked like a professional portrait artist. It looked like a photograph that you just painted over. At 4 years old, this little girl was able to paint like that. Unbelievable. So that's exciting to mm-hmm. me, because I think what it does is it demonstrates that our human potential is increasing, and that we are finally getting to a point in our evolution, because I do believe that the human species, that we as beings, are going through an evolution, and that a lot of it is also spiritual, and that we are starting to tap into abilities that have been either dormant or inaccessible for millennia, and is now all these abilities are starting to be accessed. and you see a little bit here and a little bit there, and you see one person who has this special talent and one person who has that special talent.
Well, I mean, you know, I agree with all of that. And of course, part of that is the fact that, you know, there has to be some kind of hope for humanity to hang on to, because if we just look in, you know, glance around the room, it's kind of scary, you know, without going into any of today's news, because I don't want to. It's sad that so many people don't know that they're here on Earth because they were lucky enough to be born and have an opportunity to be anything they want to be. And they choose to just be angry and jealous all the time. It saddens me, Shelley. It really, really saddens me. And blame the boot, everybody else that's involved in anything, for their inability to get on top of their own game. When in truth, well, we've said it a million times, we really all have our own special gifts, and everybody has something that they can use to be the person that they want to be. But you have to put forth some effort. And then you see somebody like the people that we're talking about, that young man. I mean, yes, like I said, I watched him three times because it keeps playing over and over again on Facebook with the judges. And they're like crying. They're all crying too, the judges on the show. When he gets done singing, and the emotion that comes out of him is like he knows that emotion firsthand. You can't fake that kind of emotion. You just can't. You have to have it. You know, it has to be a part of you. And he definitely has it. But it's not a sad thing with him. That's the other thing that I found to be beautiful. And very true to form for me was the fact that he, you know, he really is this heart-filled man. And the emotion in his music is like, you know, overwhelming, really overwhelming. So I'm with you. And I think it's good that we, you know, bring up people like him a lot. Yeah.
Well, I had seen, you know, to kind of take what you said a little bit further, I had seen some additional interviews after that, and I saw one with Simon Cowell, and it was so interesting because Simon Cowell was saying, well, first of all, Simon Cowell loves him. He said he is genuinely, Simon said that Cody Lee is genuinely one of the nicest people. You know, he said he doesn't converse with you the way a normal person would, but you can have a conversation with him. He understands his autism is that he can't formulate sentences. So if you ask him a question, sometimes he'll stop talking for a minute because he's trying to formulate the words. This is what I find so extraordinary. He can sing these songs. He can memorize these songs and sing the lyrics, and he sings the lyrics with appropriate emotion behind certain words, you know. I mean, he knows how. So he's putting the appropriate emotions. Like he understands that he, when it comes to straightforward language, when he's not singing, he has a hard time formulating that language. So that part of his brain is less accessible to him than the part of his brain that sounds music. I had actually heard of somebody. I don't know if it was in Dr. Amy's book or not, because it had to do with brain. I don't remember what book I read it in, but it was a story of somebody that suffered brain damage, and the only way that they could talk to family and friends, and I don't remember how they found out they could do this, but I think they were frustrated, is they had to sing. They could access the part of the brain that allowed them to sing, and that they couldn't talk normally. They couldn't say things, but they could sing what they wanted to say. And I find it fascinating that there's these different areas of the brain. So if we did more research on that, what if we were able to help people to access these other areas of the brain, to almost like flip those switches on,
to allow people that mm-hmm. aren't functioning fully for one reason or another and allow them to access these areas that evidently to me, and like I said, I'm not a doctor, but this is just my own observations and all the research I've been doing, it appears to me that we have a lot of innate abilities that are actually part of us, and we are just now having individuals on this planet that are learning how to tap into those potentials and are being born with them already turned on for some reason, and maybe that's happening just to show us that those abilities are there in us.
Well, I think our capabilities, we never, unless we're forced to, reach our own capabilities. Whenever you hit a low in your life, all of us that don't have the kind of challenges that you're talking about or haven't overcome, some horrendous birth defect. I mean, I got thinking about the movie The Elephant Man the other day after we did the show and thought to myself, remember that story? And I thought to myself, now there's somebody too that survived and could be articulate and all that kind of stuff. And that was, that was true. I mean, I don't know if the movie was factual. I mean, there might have been, some drama added in and everything, but it was a true story. And him and many other, did you ever watch the movie The Big Fish? Where the son shows up and the dad's dying and he's heard all these stories all of his life about the Siamese twins and the circus and the tallest man and the fat lady and the bearded lady because he was in a circus.
I don't know what you're talking about, but no, I never actually saw that one. But I know I've heard of the movie.
If you get a chance to watch that, you should watch that because that's you have to look deeper than just the movie itself. But it is about how we see things. It is about our stories as they relate to us. And when you meet somebody who has overcome the challenges that some people have to overcome and the rest of us are crying because, we weigh too much or our nose isn't perfect or we don't have enough money or, whatever the case might be. And then you see somebody who survives regardless of what kind of challenges put in front of them. It's good for us to see that every now and then. But you also have to remember that many, you can make out of anything that happens to you something good or bad, right? You feel
exactly.
that way, don't you?
Absolutely.
Okay. I had a friend say to me recently, she said, you are kind of like different than anybody I know. You've had so much stuff happen to you and you're never mean to anybody. You like everybody. You forgive everybody. And she said, I don't know how you do that. And I said, it's easy. All those things that have happened to me and mine, I've never been alone. There's always been somebody standing with me. And I'm grateful for that.
Right.
So that's how I feel about these people. You see most of these people that we're talking, like this mom for the young man that we're talking about, she's awesome. She's probably, and they were probably put together for a reason, Shel.
Well,
We are out of time, though.
Yeah, I agree with that to a point. And the reason I say that is because I hear so many stories of people that are high achievers, high contributors, very talented, that came from very, very destructive backgrounds, bad childhood, or challenges like COVID or an accident that crippled them, and there's so many of those stories. So I absolutely agree with you. However, I have also heard stories of people that became high achievers, very decent, looked to be really good and help other people, that never had that support structure, never had anybody. They actually went from a bad childhood to a bad adult life, and actually, I wish I could remember the name of the one man because it was such a beautiful story. He did finally meet somebody when he got into his early 20s. So I guess it really does take that one person to recognize what they're going through and step in and help them. So I guess it really does take a connection, and it just turned his life around.
Yes.
But he never, ever,
yes.
He was terribly abused by his mother, to the point where he was actually put in the hospital one time because of her. He just had a horrible, he was abused by her boyfriend, things like that. I mean, he had a very, very violent childhood, but he is the most gentle, decent human being, and he has spent his life doing nothing but doing things to help other people because he suffers so much that suffering of other people was intolerable to him. And when he said that, it actually brought tears to my eyes because a lot of people that suffer then look to almost, they become abusers themselves. It is so sweet to see this man go the other way. And we see that all the time. You see people that were abused should grow up to stop abuse, to say, I experienced this, and I don't want to see anybody else experience it.
Absolutely. That's absolutely true. I agree with that. But I still, with my heart, believe that when somebody is in a place where they're moving forward and trying to do something, almost always there will be somebody that wants to stand beside them, and that's important too. And those people are incredibly strong to stand beside somebody, regardless of what's going on. But we are out of time, and I think we're both on the same page. And I think that it is important to recognize some of these souls that are happy and loving and forgiving, and it should be a big lesson for those of us who think everything is against us and it's everybody else's fault but our own. And I'm not saying it's always our own either, but it's not about whose fault it is. It's about how you pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start all over again. That's what it's about.
Absolutely.
So God bless everybody. Thanks, Shel. Love you. Talk to you Monday. Bye-bye.
All right. God bless everyone.